Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Jing, jingle bells, jing, jingle bells. If you're watching the video version, you will see that we are now in festive attire, and we're surrounded by our wonderful tinsel and our phenomenal community Christmas tree that we bring out every Christmas.
Yeah.
This is a Christmas tree that was given to us by a collective on our Discord server. It's got little baubles, there's little Billy Rays on there.
Yeah.
There's little stockings with our initials on them.
With this one, I don't know if you can tell from
maybe
the
not
front.
From that distance.
But the back is filthy because this stocking like appeared one day in like March outside the front of the office.
In the car park.
We didn't know it was missing. And it was just in the car park, and we still have no idea how it got there or like
how it survived that long
if it had been out there since, you know, we had the Christmas tree out. But it is a bit filthy on the back, but it lived.
It still lived.
It lived, bitch, and it's still here. Went,
that looks familiar.
Yeah.
Is that from
we were going to do the podcast,
tree?
Weren't we? We were like...
And then I picked it up and brought it inside, and yeah, the B one was missing from the tree. So maybe it had been living outside that entire time. Who knows? Either way... We have now entered December.
We have.
Which means we're on that Christmas adventure. What have you got there,
Peter?
You can
buy these on the store
presently. Yeah.
This is a Triple Jump. Again, it doesn't help if you're not watching the video, but this is a Triple Jump bauble.
Bauble?
A word they don't use outside of the UK, apparently. No. They just sort of say decoration or ornament. Yeah.
Oh, okay. They don't say bauble
no.
anywhere else.
Bauble.
Such a fun word, though.
I know. So there you go. You can get that. That's on the store. I think by the time that you're listening to this podcast, you probably won't be able to get that in time for Christmas. But what about for next Christmas?
What about for next
Before you put your tree away and all your decorations might arrive by then,
yeah.
Stick it in the box. Next year, stick it on your tree.
Also, I believe if you're listening at the time of release, there's one day left of the Black Friday sale.
Yeah, that'd be
and
right,
everything
yeah.
on the store is 50% off, including the baubles, ornaments, decorations,
baubles.
Whatever they
baubles.
Are. Also, at the time of release, yesterday we had our work Christmas party.
We did.
And wasn't it lovely?
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. We don't know yet.
Yeah. We're excited, though, because... Free drinkies.
Free yeah. drinkies, yeah.
We've got the same issue we had last year, which is that it is currently or has been snowing a bit in the northeast, and I guess will probably continue for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Therefore, the party will end with many drunk people trying to navigate icy ramps out onto the street.
Last year,
what happened last time?
I fell over and I really hurt my hip and my ankle and I had to get a taxi home because I couldn't walk to the metro anymore.
Uh-oh.
And I blame Fraser for that because he started taking us the wrong way to the metro and then he was like, we have to turn around.
A different way.
And then on the turn around and come back, I slipped over.
You might not have hit that patch of
ice.
Exactly.
That is
unfortunate.
Exactly.
So it's Fraser's fault.
Well,
so
it's
don't
Fraser's
listen to
fault.
A thing that man
that
says.
Scotsman. Never trust him.
Is what we're saying.
This probably isn't physics, but does your metal leg get colder than your not metal leg?
You say that, but I can definitely feel the cold more. Mm. Like when there's like a cold snap happening, my leg tends to swell up more.
I can feel it in my knees.
Yeah, well,
there's a storm coming.
I can always feel like a pressure change because my leg will start hurting randomly and I'm like, the weather's getting cold again.
Wow.
But it doesn't conduct heat in that
way. It's not like... It's just cold metal inside.
Or
your
like
leg.
Hot? No. But
are
it
you
does.
Wolverine?
Maybe.
Could be.
I've not unlocked my power yet.
That's exciting. I mean, yeah. I dread the day when that happens.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, this is our video game podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. All of you, in fact, who have tagged us on social media and showed us your Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah.
In which we feature on your top podcasts. That's very lovely. Thank you for doing so.
Thanks.
We appreciate all of your support this year. You've still got a few podcasts out of, in fact, every single week for the rest of the year. And then beginning next year, you will get podcasts. So there'll be no break in podcasts. But you've still got a few podcasts from us in 2023.
Yes. Is
the point I'm trying to make. A few things before we get into the show proper. We are, of course, sponsored each and every week by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. They help us keep the lights on here.
Mm-hmm.
Any sign of Dead Island 2, the spider?
No, but it's really cold, so they're probably hot in somewhere that's nice and warm.
Peter has the ad read in front of him now.
I have, yeah. Hey, it's the holiday season. It's time to eat a lot of food and have a good time at a dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that gets eaten a lot this time of year, your turkeys, your geese, apparently.
Geese.
It's only this time of year people eat goose and then never again. Duck sometimes. Partridge.
Yeah.
Pear tree
optional. Chicken.
Hey, did
poultry.
You know?
Pheasant.
Pheasant. Did you know
game hen?
There's quite a big fashion this year for getting that kind of stuff from sort of around the France-Spain border,
right?
And to sort of capitalize on that fashion, Ubisoft have released a sort of a documentary all about how it's processed, and delivered to the UK.
Okay, go on.
Oh, I've not figured this one out yet.
Coming on like the 5th or the 7th or something of December, abattoir, poultries of Andorra.
I see. Very good.
Abattoir.
Poultries.
James Cameron's abattoir.
Poultries of Andorra.
Oh, it's a good one.
It is a good one.
I can't wait.
Did you figure that all out?
No, I didn't. I was thinking, I was going down a different train of thought, but it was just as enjoyable.
Yeah.
I nearly said painful, but that's not true. What did I think?
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be like a beyond like something and evil, like
right.
Beyond meat and evil.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
you know,
no,
wasn't
don't worry.
That?
I'm going to make it all about me and my special game. Now,
abattoir.
The other one from Ubisoft.
Yeah,
coming soon.
Abattoir.
Brilliant.
That's so very good.
It's not real.
Oh, okay. So I shouldn't ask you any further questions.
No further questions at this stage.
You saw that I was winding up. I was going to put you on the spot. I'm just going to leave this in the bud right now.
Yeah.
It's a load
statement.
Of baloney.
Yeah, later
not
on.
Not true. No, we're not sponsored.
It's not baloney. Baloney's not poultry.
Sorry. No, we're not sponsored by Abattoir.
Poultries of Andorra.
Poultries of Andorra.
We are, of course, sponsored by wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you support us at the $5 tier, you get a whole load of amazing content. Why not treat yourself this festive month? You get access to early worst games, early weirdest games. We've got a particularly messed up weirdest games coming for you next month, so
we do.
Be prepared for that.
And if you're a Patreon right now, you have access to Main Menu, the Christmas episode that came out yesterday at time of release. Exactly. That's what made me think of it. Yeah. And if you want to know what it is, we made chunks from Starfield, but we did a Christmas dinner, and it turned out so much worse than any of us could ever have imagined.
Yeah, so
truly,
bad. How could something like that go poorly?
Yeah, I showed it to my boyfriend last night, and he was like, "How did this happen?"
Yeah.
He kept being like, "How can you mess this up?" And I was like, "We had that exact same moment."
Just you wait.
It's a good one. It's like 50 minutes long. So
really long.
Big old Christmas special. Just don't be eating when you're watching it.
I would recommend
available
that. Yeah.
Right now on the Patreon, and you also get access to episodes of Rules Boss as well. There was an episode that went out last month, so you can go watch that one too. Yeah. Thank you to our fantastic patrons. Out this week for everybody is Weirdest Games Ever. That's Mr. Mosquito. If you were a patron, you would have got it last week. And as Ashton said, Starfield Chunks. TripleJU.mp is our website. TripleJud.mub. There you can find links to our YouTube, Twitch, our Discord. If you want to get a Christmas cameo as a gift for someone or yourself, you can find all the links there. We stream every day on Twitch, by the way. You can come check us out live every weekday. TripleJumpShop.com is where you need to go to get yourself 50% off everything on the store until Sunday.
Mm.
So hurry, the Black Friday deal is nearly over. And of course, patreon.com/teamtriplejump. What's that there, Peter?
That there is...
Oh, yep.
It's Street Fighter 2 Hot Sauce. The round one collection only contains three.
Yeah.
I guess different rounds have different characters. Different
we people. Talked about this last week as part of a weird news that they were releasing the Street Fighter like Hot Sauces in HMV.
Yep.
And then Adam bought us some because mm-hmm. he's a nice boss. Yeah. And he was like, you can have your hot sauces if you want it.
I couldn't actually find them listed on HMV's website. And I'll be damned if I go on an expedition in person to find an HMV. Yep. So I bought it from the people who actually make the hot sauce.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Well, it says on the bottom, it's from The Sauce Shed Limited.
Yeah, nice. I think that was in the website.
Bedford. Yeah.
What ones have we got?
We've got Dragon's Blaze. And the other two aren't facing the right direction, so
okay.
need to
open
it
up. Use my nails.
So we have no receptacles with which to consume these, by which I mean Bisquits. No. Or
I
crackers.
Looked for some gargantuan cheddars, but I couldn't find any.
We usually got some big mini cheddars in the cupboard, but none today.
Oh, we have it's how do you say that man's name?
Oh, I always forget. Is it Guile?
Or Guile?
Guile. Guile.
We've got Guile's Patriot Inferno. Oh. Fight for flavor freedom Guile. With Guile's Patriot Inferno.
It's Guile. Guile,
it's Guile now.
Guile.
Unfortunately, it's Guile now.
Oh, that's not even the right one. A robust blend of cayenne and mustard. Ugh.
Oh, delivering, it's actually cyan.
Delivering
cyan. The color.
Bold all-American heat.
Oh, look at this guy.
And then we've got...
Is this Guile?
We've got Ryu, which I assume is how we say his name,
Ryan.
Of course.
Ryan's
Dragon Blaze. Embrace the fire within with Ryan's Dragon Blaze. A scorching fusion of chilies and chipotle, igniting your taste buds Chipotle. With every drop. And then Peter has Dalsim's Mystic Serenity. Find harmony in Dalsim's Mystic Serenity. An aromatic fusion of bird's eye chili and spices, soothing and mystifying all at once.
Some fish fingers in there. So I believe
all three of them have them doing a sort of fire-based attack or a Hadouken or something.
Based on the story we read last time, I think the Dalsim one is the mild one.
Right.
Embodied in this fiery hot sauce is Ryu's unwavering determination and relentless training. Oh. With every drop, feel the power of his dragon punch ignite your taste buds.
Whoa.
Intense heat of habanero chili infused with smoky essences of chipotle delivers an explosive flavor that reflects Ryu's indomitable spirit.
I can't wait to taste the patriotic punch that this is going to add to my meal.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Your Guile.
My Guile.
It's 10:35 in the morning. Ashton
Should
and I both have sensitive stomachs.
That's funny smelling that one.
Yeah.
Don't like it very much.
Should I get a teaspoon? Because I thought this would have like a little nipple
that
on it.
Smells
but
hot.
It doesn't. It's just
March to the beat of boldness with what do we say?
Guile's
Patriot Inferno sauce, as powerful as his fighting spirit. This blend showcases the robust heat of cayenne peppers harmonizing with the tang of mustard.
I think I was thinking of Guile.
Yeah, maybe do get a...
What are you doing?
I mean, I just thought...
Are you
going to
take a little shot?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
You could get a teaspoon and I could just pour some into a lid and we could dip our fingers into it.
Yeah. This sauce adds a patriotic punch to your meals. So if you're into that, Guile's one might be for you.
America.
What does that one say?
I'll tell you. Find serenity in every drop of Dalsim's Mystic Serenity Sauce, a tranquil blend of birds... Oh, you've read this one, haven't you? Bird's Eye, maybe not.
No, I read the back where they've got different descriptions on it.
Okay. Bird's Eye chili peppers and aromatic spices. This creation echoes Dalsim's spiritual aura. Allow your taste buds to journey through a tapestry of flavors, each note carefully balanced to create a soothing and aromatic symphony. Elevate your meals with the mystique of this sauce and let your culinary spirit soar.
Wow.
We could use this in some sort of main menu, couldn't we?
Yeah.
It doesn't smell good.
No, that one smells spicy,
it does. It's supposed to, I think it's meant to be the mildest one.
I don't like this one smell. It's very smoky chipotle, and I'm not.
Right. There's no teaspoons.
Oh, okay. Thank
Obviously
you.
Not implying that you need to fill
take
a whole
tablespoon. My tablespoon's filthy.
Yeah, so is mine. I'm good.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of strong smelling.
Right, which one are we trying first? The Patriot Inferno? Or is that
the
spiciest
Patriot.
One? Do we
I
do?
Don't know.
How do we know which one's the spiciest?
Don't know. Are there any chili symbols on?
No.
No.
Of course not.
No.
Right. Okay, Ashton's measure.
That's loads.
Why were you the one who was pouring?
It was a bit sloppier than I was anticipating. I'm going to put this on your spoon. I'm not having all of this.
Yeah, I know you're not having all. I would hope not. You'd pop right here at the desk.
I literally would.
You'd explode.
Have I got much more to do today, I wonder? Because I might be on the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, have you tried it already without us?
Oh, sorry. It's definitely hot.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I feel so patriotic
but
right
that is
now.
You swallow it, yeah. It was all right in the mouth.
That's the most patriotic I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh, my God.
So this is guile.
We may have started with the wrong one.
Add some guile to your meal. Yummy, yummy.
Okay, cool. Probably would have been nice on chicken.
Yeah, it really would have been nice on chicken, to be fair.
Whoa.
Okay, what we got next? You're not boring, Sebastian.
Okay, I get it.
What's this
Which one do you want, Ryu or this guy whose name I've forgotten?
We saved Dalsim because he's the mild one, right?
I don't know where you're getting that from. If you just remember that from the...
Are you putting that out your ass?
Oh, no. I'm not putting it out my ass. I am not. I remember it saying that. Okay, here we go.
That first one's hot.
Yeah, it is.
Let's try a little bit.
It's not even got much flavour. All I can taste is
This
heat.
One is thick, so it might
that
be...
That first one was really wet.
Yeah, okay. Here you go, Pete. I don't know if I can do it from that distance. Okay. I'm just going to do this. All right. This feels like a bad way
okay,
to do it.
Everyone
got...
ready?
Yeah. Okay.
This one I think smells the spiciest.
So this is Ryan's Dragon Blaze.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Blaze.
Here we go.
I don't like that one.
It doesn't.
I don't like it, but it's not spicy.
It's
not very spicy, and also the flavor's not great on that one. Not a fan.
I do not like that one. The first one's still hanging around though.
Yeah, the first one had a real immediate kick to it.
Just like America.
Just like America. So patriotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hangs around for a little bit too long. Okay.
Where's that one?
This is the Chipotle one, isn't it? No, yeah, that was the Chipotle one. I know.
Okay, so this is
Dalsim. I didn't like that one.
Clear the palate. You poured your own one.
Yeah, but I did such a good job.
You
this
did a
time.
Really good job this time. Great stuff. So we'll get to talking about games really soon.
We will.
Hang on.
Oh, that first one's real.
I mean, if you like it, Ryu.
Spicy.
It's Ryu spicy. If you like your spices, then, I mean, I guess go for this.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're pretty good hot sauces, I would say.
Well, I didn't like this one.
No, I wasn't a huge fan of Ryan's either. So this is no. Dalsim's.
But
everyone ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go. That's the tastiest one, I think. I like the flavour of that one a lot.
I'd like that one with chicken, actually.
It's a grower.
I mean, my tongue is just kind of tingling from the other one.
So it's definitely, it starts very tomato-y, and then,
yeah, it's quite tomato-y.
And then
yeah.
it kind of like, it's back of your throat heat, I think, that one.
Yeah, it is.
Whereas this one was like tongue heat.
Tongue heat.
And this one was not nice.
Okay.
Well.
So there we are. That wasn't an advert for the Street Fighter 2 hot sauces, but they are available now in the UK if you want them.
It's in my ghoulies.
They've got some.
It's in your ghoulies.
What?
Right in the back of my throat.
Is that where your ghoulies are?
I don't know where my ghoulies are.
I don't know.
It's as good a place as any.
Yeah. They've got some lovely bottle design. Those are available now if you want to sort of punish someone that you know.
I've got
with those. Fantastic. Shall we get on to you're right, Peter?
Yeah. I'm just trying to sleep. Did you just throw yours, actually?
I put it in the plastic.
Oh,
there.
There's just someone else's blue roll down
oh,
there.
No, put that good. Back. Don't pick that up.
Oh,
that
too late.
I could have anything in it.
Yeah, I know.
You good?
Yeah, I think so.
Brilliant. Well, shall we get on with question one?
Yes, let's.
It's a question from Chris McVeigh, who says, "Hi, relevant permutation of BAP. In a strange move for a publisher and a game of this size, Bethesda has begun replying to negative Starfield user reviews on Steam. The goal seems to be explained to people that their complaints are irrelevant and the game is actually really good. It's like when you click on a restaurant on Google Maps and see the owner arguing with one-star reviews, except now it's a massive company and nobody's got food poisoning. My personal favourite is the one where procedurally generated planets feeling a bit barren is fine because the Apollo astronauts didn't see much on the moon either. Since they surely have to know how thin-skinned this makes them look, my question is, why do you think they decided to do this? Are they genuinely trying to see if they can correct some misunderstandings, or are they just throwing a corporate tantrum about their game that took years to make, turning out to be a bit mid? Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
I've got a write-up here from, I think it was the IGN one that I grabbed in the end. Let me just find it. Yes, IGN. Bethesda is responding to negative reviews of Starfield on Steam. Moonshot is the subheading, whatever that means.
Okay. That's a reference to a thing, maybe.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know.
So Bethesda are responding to negative reviews of Starfield on Steam, as spotted by Project Zomboid developer Andy Hodgetts, flagged in a tweet. Representatives of the Microsoft-owned company have been replying to negative reviews. Here's some examples. A player with 56 hours in Starfield wrote, "Boring and overrated. There's a wide universe to explore, filled mostly with empty planets. I understand they have to sell you on the idea that this is a whole universe, but that doesn't make the game more fun, etc." Basically just saying it's kind of boring, and there's not much to do. And the response was, "Greetings. Thank you for taking the time to leave a review for Starfield. We're sorry you do not like landing on different planets and are finding many of them empty. Some of Starfield's planets are meant to be empty by design, but that's not boring." Then it's
this is a bit boring. No, it's not.
No, you're wrong.
And then this is in quotes for some reason. I don't know if it's maybe mentioned in the game by an NPC, but it says this is still their response.
Yeah.
Quote, "When the astronauts went to the moon, there was nothing there. They certainly weren't bored." End quote. And then their response continues. The intention of Starfield's exploration is to evoke a feeling of smallness in players and make you feel overwhelmed. You can continue to explore.
I don't like feeling overwhelmed.
No.
Why would a game try and make me feel overwhelmed?
You can continue to explore and find worlds that do have resources you need or hidden outposts to look through. To provide feedback to the development of Starfield, please submit here. Blah, blah, blah. There's some more examples in this article, but, you know, Starfield, someone complained that there's not much to do, and they put, "You can fly, you can shoot, you can mine, you can loot. Starfield is an RPG with hundreds of hours of quests to complete and characters to meet. Most quests will also vary on your character's skill and decisions, massively changing the outcome of your playthrough. Try creating different characters with backgrounds and characteristics that clash or are opposite of your previous character. You will feel like you are playing a totally different game." And it goes on and on. But those are just a couple of examples of some of the things they've been saying.
Yeah. There's another one that I quite like about the amount of loading screens.
Oh, yeah.
Where they basically, I've got a write-up as well here. Where is it? "Laments the amount of loading screens. The support team replied, imploring the reviewer to consider the amount of data for the expansive gameplay that is procedurally generated to load flawlessly in under 3 seconds." Flawlessly.
Under 3 seconds.
Under 3 seconds is also a lie.
Yeah.
I had lots of loading screens that were way longer than that. Very few of them were under 3 seconds.
Mm.
It's not a good look.
No.
So I saw something on Twitter, and I've got the tweet here. It comes from @RitNelson, Xavier Nelson Jr., who runs a small indie studio, who said, "For those who aren't familiar, this is becoming industry standard because of how important of a role Steam ratings play and the proven ability to sometimes flip negative reviews based off of simply interacting with a user. It's spreading. This is just a very big company doing it." Mm. So it's interesting to note that, like, this is not something new. Like, we often see games replying to reviewers and people's opinions. Normally, if it's like, "Oh, thanks for letting us know this is an issue, we'll fix it." And they do that now because there is proven, like, evidence that it does help flip Steam rating reviews. So it could be that that's why Bethesda are doing it. They're wanting to try and flip these reviews. But the way with which they are doing it is so strange. Like, it's not like a small indie dev being like, "Thanks so much for playing our game. Like, we'll get that, you know, those changes made. Like, it's thanks for letting us know. We appreciate you playing anyway and leaving a review." That feels genuine. What Bethesda are doing feels like they're so angry and they're just kind of being like, "Well, if you'd have played the game properly, you would have enjoyed it more."
Well, also, it feels like they're responding to criticisms of, like, fundamental parts of the game. You know, if, like, someone was reviewing a smaller game and said, like, "Oh, yeah, there was, like, a really annoying bit that happened in this place," or, like, "I've spotted this bug," or "I'm not keen on the mix of the music," or something like that, you know, "the sound isn't right," a developer could respond to that and say, "Thanks for this. We're working on the audio mix. We've had similar complaints," or whatever it is. But if someone is saying, "Starfield is boring because there are 1,000 planets and loads of them have nothing on them, and I'm not enjoying the core gameplay because the quests are dull or whatever it is that they're saying in that kind of in a broader sense, Bethesda aren't going to start changing the makeup of the universe or like the simple like gameplay loop. I think they're just coming on to say that thing that you don't like, we're not really going to do anything about it, but it's good. Don't worry. That thing that you're saying is still a good thing. So yeah, I don't know.
No.
It's not ideal.
There's a meme that we were all looking at earlier, which is the clip from The Simpsons where Milhouse is crawling out of. I can't remember the context. Do you remember what
it's
it
like
is?
It's like a mattress fort that I think Homer's got some other attraction. It's like the trampoline or from some episode where he's made a thing. And he's like built a couple of like sideshows around it, and one of them is a fort made of trampolines.
So Milhouse is mattresses. Crawling out of it, and it's labeled Starfield, and he says, "This is boring." And Homer replies and says, "No, it's not.
No, it's not."
And that's it.
With the Bethesda logo.
With the Bethesda logo over his face. Yeah. So that's very much the tone that it's sort of giving off here.
Yeah.
Is that it almost makes them. I mean, I don't think there's a way they come out of this looking good.
No.
It certainly makes them look kind of petty, because internally, absolutely, you know, any developer at any studio, when they make a game of any size, but particularly a game that's taken this long to create, is going to be a bit put out by negative reviews, even if they're warranted. But here, because of the size of Bethesda and the fact that they have such a prestigious record, them coming in and saying, you're not actually right, because we wanted it to be empty with nothing in it.
Yeah.
Because that's just what the moon looks like?
They're getting absolutely roasted online. And it's not good. They should have. The people who like this game really like it, and a lot of people have bounced off it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. It's clearly been a big performer for Game Pass. I don't think it's necessarily going to affect anything behind the scenes unless bonuses are tied to Steam review averages,
yeah.
In which case maybe.
Potentially, yeah.
But the best thing they could have done in this situation is be quietly upset by people's comments about how, I don't like how empty this is. And they're thinking, well, it's meant to be empty. That's the whole point. And then maybe expressing that in a press, in a two-press interview at some point. A senior member of staff goes on and has an interview and say, yeah, we've heard the feedback, but that was our intention to do that. Going in and replying to everyone one by one screams of someone who's like
desperate,
done a tweet that's gone viral and then is replying to every single person who's criticizing us. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, as well, like they've said, or we certainly heard some time ago before the game actually released, that there was like a 10-year plan of content of, DLC, presumably. And so why not kind of say, oh, look, don't respond to the reviews and say this. I mean, but if, say, they were to do an interview with a senior member of staff, you could say, like, oh, yeah, and we're thinking of, like, releasing some DLC that will, like, fill out quite a lot of planets. Mm-hmm. Or, you can take that criticism and just use it to improve the game. And you can respond to it in that kind of way and say, all right, here's what we're going to do to make the game a more enjoyable experience for those people who are saying, these are the things I don't like. Rather than say, no, those things, you should like them. That's what they're supposed to be.
Mm. You're actually right. Here's the thing. You're actually wrong.
You're actually wrong about not liking that.
The thing is, no one feels sorry for a multi-million dollar corporation that's made a bunch of money. Nobody feels sorry for them. So the way that they're replying to things is just making it worse. Like, if they did feel the need to reply to these reviews for some reason, maybe they are trying to flip them, then kind of being patronizing and telling someone that they are wrong is not the way to go about it. Like, if you're trying to appease to someone, even if it's not changing elements of your game, it's just being like, so sorry you felt that way. Our intentions were this, but we can understand why you've felt this way. Thanks for playing our game anyway. XOXO Bethesda. Yeah. That would have been better, but it's also the tone with which they're applying to these as well. Yeah. It's very petty and it feels like very patronizing, like they don't think we can play their game properly. It's very strange. It's not normal. And the fact that they're being called out about it with major gaming media outlets and still doing it is so weird. I'm just imagining like two people whose job it is to reply to all of these Steam reviews just locked in a room like, don't read the news, just keep replying, just desperately trying to reply to all of these.
They've clearly got templates as well, because I was just looking at that article again and like some of the later examples in that article just use the same things, like the quote of when the astronauts went to the moon, you know. So they're just sort of regurgitating the same.
It doesn't feel like something that Phil Spencer would be on board.
No, I don't know whether it's, and it's probably not this, but I don't know whether it's because they only got nominated for one Game Award. Mm. They've not really won anything. No one's really talking about Starfield anymore. And the Steam reviews weren't overall like not looking amazingly positive. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if they're damage controlling right now. Like there's a small panic that like the game has, I don't know if it's underperformed. It may have not done, but we don't know.
It had a really strong launch, but I don't know. I don't know what the staying power is.
And I mean, you can say that like, oh, there's been a major drop off, but that's just how it is with a single player campaign. Like people are going to stop playing it and play something else when they finish the game. So that is kind of irrelevant. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is maybe an element of Bethesda's social media team right now or PR team that is kind of panicking in the sense that people have stopped talking about Starfield and it's not had quite the impact that they were hoping it would have. And I wonder if maybe this is just them kind of trying to fight the fires that are popping up all over the place by attacking the Steam reviews to see if they can flip that to be more positive.
And this is why it feels even worse, mm-hmm. because they should know better by this point. And if it is a matter of pride, because this is a game that they've said numerous times that they've always wanted to make, and they've been making it for over a decade and it's had loads of delays and stuff, and then it's come out and the reception hasn't been overwhelmingly glowing, unlike most of their previous projects. Mm-hmm. And then they've also got the kind of disaster that is Fallout 76 and you know, just re-releasing Skyrim over and over again. It's, I could understand how internally that could be A, upsetting, and B, there might be, as you said, a need for some kind of damage control to repair the image of like, we're Bethesda Game Studios or Softworks or whatever the developer is. We make the best RPGs on the planet.
Yeah.
But this is like, if you could have picked a way, arguing with individual reviewers on Steam is like not it.
It's, well, so
it's fixing it in a No Man's Sky kind of way. And even if you don't, fixing may not be the right word there, but like iterating on what you've already got and putting more stuff in and engaging those reviewers or those issues and complaints in a productive way, rather than saying you're wrong about this, rather than we hear you. All you need to say is, oh, okay, well, we hear you.
Yeah.
Say you're wrong, because that's not good.
It's quite telling that we're talking about this as an actual podcast question rather than just it being one person's weird news.
Yeah, we had a lot of people submit this.
We did have a lot, because it is weird news. And, you know, in the past we have covered stories where it's been like, oh, silly developer or silly publisher has done this silly thing. Oh, you silly boys or girls. But this has like become more of a story than a throwaway.
It's because it's random. So baffling.
Yeah, it's kind of backfired, I think, in, well, again, we don't quite know what the intention even is there, but if the intention was to genuinely try and improve the game's sort of public-facing image, then I feel like this hasn't necessarily worked out in their favour.
No, it's very strange.
Oopsie.
Yeah, we'll have to see how long this will continue.
Yeah.
And how much more unhinged the replies can get. And also, I think it's only going to encourage people to leave negative reviews.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a big backlash.
See what
they
can bait Bethesda into having to respond to.
Just sort of put obvious falsehoods up there. Like, actually, I heard that the astronauts were really bored.
Yeah. They were really bored on the moon.
Yeah. They got there,
this is crap. Like, that's the same outpost I saw last on the other place. I'm excited to talk to James Jenkins about it on the Game of the Year podcast, because I feel like if there's a Starfield fan among us, it's got to be him, because I've still not spoken to him about Starfield in like since the first couple of weeks it came out. And speaking of which, patreon.com/teamtriplejump, we will soon in the next month be polling you for your Game of the Year to go alongside our Games of the Year in the first episode of 2024. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have your voices heard, is Starfield your Game of the Year? Mm. Are the reviewers wrong?
Yep.
Yeah.
Let us know. The numbers will not lie.
No, they won't.
But it will be interesting to see what James says. Because I do feel like it's hard to remember, years later, but I feel like it's had less staying power than you Skyrim.
I still
want
to see more about Skyrim.
Yeah.
I'm still seeing more about Skyrim.
I mean, even Fallout 4, I think, was more kind of remained on, you know, Twitch and social media for longer than Starfield seems to have done. So
dominated the news cycle for 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I've just not heard much. And I know there's a lot of algorithm-based stuff there as well. But even so, it just doesn't... I mean, we had content plans for Starfield that we have sort of shelved or put on ice because we were like, let's just wait and see if this has anywhere near the interest after a couple of months that Skyrim had, and it doesn't.
No.
So, remains to be seen. Well, it's time to move on to a brand new section.
It is, yes. Came up with this in the shower last week. It's called What We Play In.
Oh. It's What We Play In time. Time to talk about the games what we have been playing. Peter, what have you been playing?
I have not been at home. I have not played anything.
Oh my God.
It's scandalous.
Drink some guile.
As a punishment. I have been home for the past 2 days, and so I should have played something because I knew What We Play In was coming up. But in the past 2 evenings, we have been catching up on the things that we weren't able to do at home for the when we were away. And also, we've put our Christmas tree up.
Oh.
So we had to go out and buy a Christmas tree and decorate
A
real one.
Okay.
We always have a real one, which I would never normally do outside of December.
Yeah.
Because at time recording, it's not yet December.
No.
But we've got friends coming around on Friday, and we
want to impress.
Just be up.
Yeah. Like, this is our Christmas tree. It's real.
These guys have a real Christmas tree.
One of them is from abroad.
Smells like car air freshener in here. It's
great.
Delicious. One of them is from abroad, and they do not do Christmas trees in their nation of origin, and so we thought they might quite like it to see a tree in a house.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you guys?
Crazy guys, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I've done is put my tree up. So there.
Lovely.
Shrug. Ashton, what have you been playing?
I've played a few things this week. I played some more Super Mario RPG. I'm like probably about 45 minutes from the end of that game.
That's very specific.
Well, I think I'm in like the very like final area now, and it's just a matter of like getting to the final boss and doing it. I have actually been really enjoying it, and it's just a nice kind of palate cleansery game. Like, I'm just absent-mindedly walking through and then doing the same attacks on all of the enemies. Like, I'm playing on baby mode, so it's pretty easy.
Baby Mario.
But yeah, I've been really, really enjoying that game. And can I just... I want to talk about something right now. So on stream, when I was playing it, they do this thing every now and then where there's like a Yoshi and an egg, and then it spins around and you have to find the Yoshi and you double up your like coins and experience.
Okay.
And on stream, I was like, oh my God, I'm really good at these. I haven't messed any of them up. And then I messed it up.
Oh.
And then in my other playthrough, my current playthrough, I've not messed it up one time. I've been nailing it every time. And it does.
So is it like where they mix up?
And you've got to find which one it is.
I had to do that on a stream recently. And I was like, oh my God. Like, just before I picked it, I was like, wait, actually, I might be wrong here. But unfortunately, I was all right.
Yeah. I also played some Baldur's Gate 3. I've been playing that this week, and it's currently all I want to play. It's kind of become the thing where I'm like, can we play Baldur's Gate again, boyfriend? And he's like, okay. And I've been really enjoying that. I'm playing as a barbarian, and she's called Layla, and she's very cool. She has a big hammer at the moment. And I've been playing some Gotham Knights. And can I just take a minute to rant about something that's really been winding me up this week?
Yeah.
If that's all right. Thank you so much. Gotham Knights is rubbish. It's bad. It's a bad game. And do you know why? It's what's really, really been winding me up. So I've been playing it in local co-op, and I've been playing as Batgirl, and MB has been playing as Nightwing. And the thing is, that really pisses me off, is that I've been playing on his save, and I can't open any doors or do anything without his permission. I press X on it, and it says, Scrambled Ashton needs attention. And I'm like, I do, but not right now. And I keep saying, suggest a host, open this door, suggest a host, talk to Harley Quinn. And it's really winding me up. And whenever we enter into a cutscene, even if I've got there first, it's his character on my screen as well. Mm. And I'm like, why would you make a game which has 4 key players that you can't really customize? So they're not like, oh, well, we can't put all your character models in. You already know the character models. They're yours. You made them. And there's 4 characters in this game that are in the story. So why? why are my character not in the back of a cutscene? Why isn't she involved? Why is she not the one talking? It's like, Nightwing's here. And I'm like, and so is Batgirl. She's right there. And you've written it. So she go and be there. And it makes sense that she's there. So why isn't she there? Why not? And then you go on Baldur's Gate 3 and all your characters, no matter what party you've got, the customizable characters, are in the background of the shot, listening into the conversation, or you're having different conversations at different times, because it's a game in which you can play with someone else in an environment with a campaign. Why does Gotham Knights not do that? Do you know what else doesn't do it? Borderlands 3, and that wound me up as well. Gotham Knights needs to get its flip together, because it's not very good, and it's upset me, because I was really excited to play it, and now I'm not going to play it anymore. Out of pure principle, and I got so emotional that my throat went funny, so I'm annoyed about that.
It upset you, did it? I can't tell.
It upset me.
It's a very rational response.
No. I'm just annoyed. Just having played Baldur's Gate 3, it's just so... It's so easy.
It's the difference between a Game of the Year contender and
exactly. It's
and
just...
a not.
Yeah. It's hard to... Whoa.
Jesus.
It's hard to rationalise what Gotham Knights does badly when you see it done so well. Mm-hmm. And it just it annoys me that these games can't use the multiplayer elements of their game in the basic story elements
it's
of it.
It's a pretty like simple basic thing, isn't it? To like for the cutscene or to allow other players to open doors.
Exactly. It's like I understand like, oh, someone might be doing something else, but Gotham Knights isn't exactly a situation where you can be off exploring a different path. You're normally going down a linear.
Oh, Ashton wants to open this. Press that X to convert, and you warp to the character.
So it's really annoying, and I just it will wound me up. Don't know if you could tell, and it shouldn't be like that anymore. Borderlands 3 was really bad for it as well, but that had no characters in the cutscene, so I guess. They were like, you can't be angry that one person's in it because no one's in it.
No.
So it's like, what's the point of letting me play a game if you're not going to let my character be involved? Mm-hmm. Anyway, what have we been playing, man?
I'm sorry to hear that that Gotham Knights is rubbish in multiplayer, which, you know, it shouldn't be because that's the entire design. I'd like to reiterate again, though, that I actually quite enjoyed it, but I did play it by myself.
Mm.
So I didn't have, so I was in complete control of everything I was doing. And when I went into a cutscene,
you were there.
Character.
That was me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what a waste.
Yeah.
What a shame. And they're not going to fix it.
Nope.
Nah. They're never going to fix it. Is it still running at 30 frames?
Yeah. And I had to turn off something on my internet to be able to play Gotham Knights online. I had to go into my internet settings and allow something for Virgin just so I could like access it.
Something to do with
I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Ben told me what to do and I did it. But yeah, it's so weird. What a rubbish game.
Maybe they'll reply to negative reviews and say, hey, it's not rubbish.
Yeah.
You don't want to be seen in the cutscene.
Well, traversal is so boring as well. Like, having played Spider-Man, I'm like,
Spider-Man just
I'm worried
just
about
destroys
that in
everything.
Any game for the next 6 months.
But it's just like, she's like zipping around on this flipping grappling hook, and then she just floats so flipping slowly around on a cape, and I'm Ben's over the top of me on his little glider going faster than I am, and I was like, so annoying. Just, it's rubbish.
I liked it. I had fun. So here's what I've been playing.
Yeah.
Oblivion is now my stream game, which means that I can't play it for fun anymore, which is sad, because there were a couple of occasions where I really wanted to sit down and just play Oblivion. Nope, can't do that anymore, because I'm playing it on stream. So that's what I'm playing on stream now, and I will not be playing Oblivion in my spare time, which is what it is. I had a friend up over the weekend who helped me paint and decorate some of my house, and I showed him Spider-Man 2 because he's not played it yet, and I let him have a little swing around and a glide, and he was like, God, it looks great. I'm like, yeah, it does look great. Yeah. It's really fun. For my sins, I booted up Fallout 76.
Oh.
You always have some real out of left field games on your list.
I have been, since I've started playing Oblivion, there have been numerous occasions where I've started up my PS5, looked at it and gone, I just don't want to play any of this.
Mm.
And also there's nothing there that I can really resume playing. Mm. So I'm like, I don't really feel like starting a new game right now. I downloaded a few games that I thought we could play together in co-op over the weekend. And I thought, hey, big swing. I've heard Fallout 76 actually runs now.
Mm.
So I haven't played it since it came out. I've got a level 100 character, got the platinum, peaced out. The last time I played it was in April of 2019. was the last time I accessed that save file. And so I loaded it up and oh my goodness, it's 60 frames per second.
Wow.
And it runs pretty well. My house was still there. I've forgotten all of the controls because they were just ever so slightly different from normal Fallout controls and right. you know, Bethesda RPG controls for whatever reason. So I'd basically walked around my house, inspected some things, tried to repair something, couldn't work out how to do it. Saw some very weird glitches with shadows, like sort of disappearing and phasing in and out that didn't make any sense. And then I turned it off. So I hope the developers at Bethesda were really excited that a new player had returned. One of the highest level players in the game was like, yeah. He's back. And then he potted around his house and then logged out again.
There was one little ping and then they were like, oh,
he's gone.
He's gone.
And then I deleted the game again.
And then they went back to writing review replies.
It's all the same team.
Yes, just all the same people.
Switch between.
Yeah.
But what we instead played was the game that came to PS Plus last month, which was Aliens Fireteam Elite, which is a squad-based shooter. I think you can have up to three people. You choose a different class. You have different like action skills. So I was a technician. I had a turret that I could throw down.
Nice.
There's nothing inherently wrong with it, but it is very paint by numbers.
It's fun? Question mark.
It was fun. Dot dot dot.
Okay.
It's absolutely fine. That is completely unremarkable. It's very Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood in that you start at the beginning of a level, and you just shoot loads and loads of things, and then get to the end of it. Like there's four, maybe three, campaign chapters, and within that there are three parts to it, and then you level up, and you get to spend some weird currency on buying a Father Christmas hat for your character and stuff. Yeah. And that's kind of it. Aliens fans might enjoy it, but if you're looking for something to just sort of mindlessly blast through with a couple of friends or even one friend, then there's a suggestion.
It reminds me
Aliens Fireteam Elite.
I've not played RoboCop yet. I'm wondering how that's been received ultimately, because that's out now, isn't it? I think
it is. I think the reviews were all right.
Yeah, I think it was pretty middling.
Yeah.
So, but that's what I've been playing. And you've not played any more Alan Wake, have you?
No, not yet.
Has it?
I was playing RPG.
Has it sunk its claws into you at all? Like, are you feeling it?
No, I don't think so. I think that, like, when I played it the last time, obviously I stopped playing it so I could play Super Mario RPG, and that did sink its claws into me a little bit, and now Baldur's Gate 3 has. I think I just couldn't, I just wasn't really into it. I think I just wasn't really getting on with the gameplay as much as I kind of hoped that I would. I think having played Control, I thought, oh yeah, I can handle a bit of like supernatural spooky stuff. But yeah, I might go back to it before the end of the year. I haven't really felt the urge to go back to it yet. So
when the praise just exploded for that game, I was like, I've clearly got to play Alan Wake 2. Mm-hmm. And then since I've sort of cooled off a little bit, and then it's not really taken you that much. And then I was like, as we talked about on the podcast, this ultimately.
Well, I haven't played Alan Wake 2.
Oh, I thought you bought Alan Wake 2.
No, I haven't played the first one, so I was playing the first one. Oh. Sorry, not to confuse
I thought you were talking about Alan Wake 2.
No, sorry, the first one.
Oh, okay, all right, sorry. Well, there we are.
I'm sure you never said 2, but we just assumed
it was Alan Wake. Yeah.
No,
right,
I needed to play the first one because I'd never played it, gotcha. So I went back to play
I wasn't a huge fan My of the apologies. First Alan Wake either. But yeah, I know ultimately it's pointless because it's the difference of like 3%, but I was very surprised to hear that the Xbox version was in the 90s and the PS5 version was in like the 80s.
Well, like we said last week, the PS5 version had like 65 reviews,
way more
and the
reviews.
Other one had like 15.
But yeah, I'm wondering if this, like, because time is limited, and I know I've just talked about going on my console and not
playing Fallout 76.
Yeah, and then playing Fallout 76. I'm just trying to weigh up, like, is it worth it? Am I actually going to like it as someone who didn't really like Alan Wake 1 and then Control also kind of did not blow me away the same way everyone else.
I think it's a little different from those two, though. The way it looks like it's a little bit more shootery because you play quite substantially as the FBI agent exploring the supernatural world.
It's never appealed to me that even the first one, I know that the second one has been lavish with praise, and there are clearly some like significant moments that people are citing over and over again as like, this is a huge, achievement in gaming or something. I don't know. I've still not seen the actual spoiler of what it is. I just know that there's a moment or two.
Yeah.
But there's just something about the supernatural sort of quite dark, I mean, visually dark, like, a lot of darkness kind of thing that just doesn't appeal to me that much. I don't mean too spooky for me either. I just mean like, I don't know. Just
I found
a
the,
bit...
the plot running through Alan Wake and Control completely baffling as well. Like, yeah, I found it really hard to keep up with what was actually happening. So, I mean, this isn't me crapping on the game. I'm just genuinely weighing up. Should I take the plunge? Tweet me. Let me know. Do you love Alan Wake 2? Is it better than Control? Because if it's not, and I didn't really leave Control feeling all that overwhelmed by how amazing it was, then, you know, I'm wondering if I can skip past it. It's just amazing to me that I went from like, I've got to play this to, I don't know that I'm going to like it actually. So let me know. Is Alan Wake 2 really all that? I'd like to hope that it is because everyone seems to like it, but I'm just not sure. Just not sure about Alan Wake 2. And you haven't even been playing it. For some reason, for the past few weeks,
well, I thought you've been playing
it. Last week you asked me if I'd finished it and I understood the ending and I said, I've not finished it yet. And then you both were like, apparently the ending is really confusing. And I was like, okay, well, I'll tell you when I get there.
Completely different wavelengths, obviously. But there we are. That's what we've been playing. Let's move on to question two.
This comes from Josh Lees. G'day to today's BAP formation. What do you all think about the prospect of voicing your own characters in the future? On one hand, it sounds like sounds really cool, but part of me thinks it would be a cheap gimmick to avoid paying quality voice actors. I think I'll stick with professionals doing the talking, but interested to hear your thoughts. Cheers, Josh Lees.
Thanks, Josh.
If you're very confused about what I'm talking about, let me tell you. It comes from Gamer Ant.
That's him.
Game Rant. By
hello?
John Paul Jacquin or something like that.
Joaquin,
thank you.
Gwiel.
Electronic Arts has patented a technology that could allow gamers to voice their in-game characters. The patent is the latest in EA's effort to introduce innovations in the gaming industry. A report from Very Alley Gaming indicates that EA have patented a technology that allegedly enables players to make their in-game characters communicate using their voices. According to the patent, the technology EA have patented will use a synthesizer module, a voice converter, and a vocoder to replicate players' voices and have their in-game characters say what players want using their own voice. The technology effectively turns players into their gaming character's voice actor, which could lead to various results. The process behind the technology starts when a player inputs what they want their character to say into a synthesizer module. Very Alley Gaming mentioned that in the input data can be text, allowing players to type in what they want their in-game character to say. The module then produces some source acoustic features that serve as the voice or style the game wants, in this case, the players. Afterwards, the synthesizer module will send the acoustic features to a voice converter, which then melds it with the player's target speaker embedding to replicate the player's voice for the in-game character. Essentially, you type in what you want to say, it takes your voice, and then your player character says it to the other characters
Hello,
in the game.
Hello, my name is Ben Potter.
Yes. They'll Franken-sentence your voice together.
Yes.
But we don't know how it's going to work yet. We don't know if you have to sit there and import a bunch of your voice. We don't know what they're going to use it for yet. We don't know how it's going to be implicated in any games. It's a patent, so it may never actually come to fruition. But essentially, the idea is that your character would not necessarily need voicing by a voice actor because it would all be, I assume, done by some kind of AI, like selection of voice that will smack it all together and create the voice.
Well, my first thought in relation to Josh's question, do we think this is a way to avoid paying quality voice actors? I think certainly at the moment it's not. I think if this was to be used in a video game, certainly initially it would be an option and they would say, hey, do you want to use the default voice, which would be a paid voice actor, or do you want to use your own voice? How exciting. So I don't think at the moment this is going to start getting in the way of voice acting work in terms of the professionals. Who's to say, you know, where we could be in 5 years' time, but that's we'll have to see how that goes. I think this is weird, and I think it could work well enough in instances like sort of create a wrestlers and things like that in a game where perhaps it doesn't matter so much if you are a little bit removed from like cinema grade voice acting delivery, and if it occasionally like glitches out a bit, which surely it's going to be doing. Yeah. Again, we're talking about if this is actually ever used, we'll just assume that it is going to be at some point for now. But in the early days, this is going to be wonky. It's going to be all over social media.
Mm-hmm.
Voices sounding a bit weird, just delivering like a certain syllable wrong, you know, or something. But in something like, you know, a wrestling game or a sports game, something like that, you could probably get away with it. Whereas if it was a super cinematic game, you know, hey, there's a new Batman coming out, not by EA, but whatever. There's a new Batman game coming out and you can be Bruce Wayne or it can be, you know, Ben Potter is Batman.
Yeah.
I am the knight.
Yeah. And that would just be bad, I think. I can't see that going well at all. So I think, yeah, there are places where this could maybe be implemented reasonably well. Or even like, not even like using your voice, but having something that can read text and say it. You know, you again, to use wrestling as an example, it was always a bit annoying when you couldn't just say, now entering the ring, Billy Ray Walrus.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sort of construct it out of like, Billy Cyrus or whatever. Yeah.
Billy Ray, that's it.
Yeah, Billy Ray. But, you know, being able to just type in the most complex thing you like and have an in-game voice be sort of synthesized from the text and just say it properly, that kind of thing, that would be, you know, pretty good. And it would, like, increase your immersion and just the capabilities of the game. But, yeah, I hope we don't see this in serious cinematic games for a long time, if ever, to be honest.
Not to sound like, I don't know if it's all mums or specifically my mum, in a sense of I would not like to hear my own voice coming out of the television.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like those.
I think I don't mind the videos that we do, they're fine. But if I'm like trying to, if the character's replying and it's not my words, that would really freak me out,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's a strange idea and I worry that it gives players too much power. But, you know, we'll see what
they
happens.
They have enough power.
Yeah, because I mean, what if they feed someone else's voice into it and then make them say something bad, voice record it, and then send it out and be like, look what this person said. Mm-hmm. That gives me the fear. A bit like when, was it Nolan North was doing the NFT thing where you could like own his voice. Troy Baker. And it was one of the two. I couldn't remember which one. When Troy Baker was like, you can own my voice for NFT money. I don't know how it works. Bitcoin. And we were all like, why would you want to do that, Troy Baker? That's strange because someone will steal your voice. Surely that's not, I don't like that. I'd also be interested to see what the rules are behind if you submit your voice for the voice recordings, how long EA has that voice for, whether they will be able to use it in perpetuity, not saying that they will, but if you hand over your voice, they could very much, and they've got a bunch of AIs AIs that will like produce NPC background music, you know, background chatter, and you're walking through and suddenly you hear your own voice saying something, a different line. Yeah, that's kind of freaky. Again, this is all completely like in the air right now, so this is all hypothetical stuff, but it does make me feel uncomfortable and I would be more inclined to just get someone who is paid and is talented to voice act my character. I mean, I know there's a lot of silent protagonists that you can play as that never speak and you still either like will choose voice lines and then the character will respond. I don't necessarily know if I need to figure out what I want to say, type in an answer, hear the answer, and then hear the video game attempt to figure out how to answer me after I've just asked it a random question. So all very interesting. We'll have to see if it ever comes to like fruition and if we ever see it in actual games. But I think it's very weird. I think it's a very strange idea, but we'll see.
Yeah, I've also written down, will EA own my voice?
Yeah.
Because we all, more and more games make us scroll through those user agreements at the start, even when they're offline.
Mm-hmm.
God knows what's in there.
Yeah.
You may be submitting your voice to EA and they can just hold on to it. At the very least, they've got to store it somewhere. So you have to sign those rights away. And I don't know how much more complicated it is for them to stick a clause in the sound. By the way, we will keep it for a while for, you know, just personal reasons. That's fine. All voice stuff and face scans, etc., that players have been able to use in the entire history of video games have been crap.
Yeah.
They don't work. They always look a bit wonky. You don't hear so much voice stuff anymore, but certainly, especially in like RTS games, you'd be able to use a microphone in some of them mm-hmm. and say, unit, go to this place, or create more soldiers, or something like that. And it sort of worked sometimes. I think it was Tom Clancy's End War maybe came with a microphone.
Seaman as well, you could speak to, I think. Yeah.
And Hey You Pikachu. Now, obviously, it's been a while since those games have come out, and technology's come an awful long way. However, it really annoys me because I am interested by the videos, but on Facebook Reels, I keep getting served videos by some GTA page about like weird and interesting occurrences in Red Dead Redemption 2. Like if you go to this place at this certain time, you can see this. And they use an awful synthesized voice that sounds like a real person, but also really obviously does not sound like a real person.
Voice type thing. Well, there was loads of those going around where like you could tell it to say something and it would say it. And sometimes you were like, oh, is this a voice? And then you wouldn't realize until a few videos later when the same voice was saying something else. You're like, oh, this is...
I saw a top 10 list recently where someone had done...
Yeah, I hate that. I absolutely hate that. Yeah. And that is presumably, with all the inflection and grace of that, is what your character would sound like in a game.
Yeah. Mm.
The technology could move on further, which presents a multitude of other concerns, obviously. But say this did come out, I would like to try it, assuming they don't steal my voice forever.
Yeah.
However, I would absolutely want the option of a fully voiced actual, you know, from a professional voice actor. That I would like that option.
How much do you think you'd have to input for them to be able to use your voice? Like, surely there would be a lot calibration
like page
stuff.
And like you maybe have to read it in certain inflections as well.
And what would happen if just for fun you just read it in like a really weird way that's it.
Or every syllable that was like, please say this, and you were just doing different accents for everyone.
My friend had a copy of Shrek 2 on DVD.
Oh my god.
And back in the day we used to enjoy using one of those modes. If you put it into a computer and you had a microphone plugged in, they had a scene where basically you could ADR it. You could you could record the lines for one of the characters and it would automatically match it or slow it down or speed it up as you recorded the line to fit it. And we had so much fun with that because it was funny because you could really mess, you know, you could speak in a really messed up voice or say something completely disgusting and it would match it up. And the best time that we ever had with it was when the entire thing screwed up and it managed to fit the entire script into one voiced line, so they just went and that was it, and then the rest of it was silence.
Wow.
And there is absolutely the possibility that the bugs that you get would not only be absolutely unprecedented, never before seen in a video game, but also completely ruin the game for you, like completely ruin the tone, any important significant moments, and you've got your character there talking
weeping
sort of
over
a
that
bodies.
Is dull, so sad.
Yeah, a dull monotone sort of thing. You sound like Crichton from Red Dwarf. I kind of want to see it, but also it's very problematic for a lot of reasons, and also I don't want to see it.
Yeah. Interesting. We'll have to see what they do with that stuff.
Tell you what it is, though. It's pretty weird.
It is. It is pretty strange. And it's pretty current affairs, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you going to say it?
It's weird news.
Thank you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, if you would like to get a shout out at this point in the podcast on Weird News, then you can submit some weird news to us under the relevant social media post that goes out on a Tuesday. However, if you'd like to guarantee a shout out at this point in the podcast, you need to go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump and sign up as a podcast producer, just like
G.Y. Goliath,
Nicole Hansen,
Duncan Wilson,
Katie
Hardgy,
Garrett, I forget every time,
Eric Siu,
Potato Shack 99.
What? Oh yeah, it's on two pages. Melody L. Bonnet,
Nexus Polaris,
Gabrielle Philippic,
Blake Thomas,
Janet Wicks,
and Gwiel, and Great Giggity.
Thank you so much, podcast producers.
Peter, have you got some weird news there?
I have. This was sent to us by many people, but initially sent by editor Kieran.
Yeah.
Kieran Henry. And then it was submitted on our posts, and also someone DM'd it to me because it's vaguely Peter adjacent. So I've got Kieran's write-up here, but thank you to everyone who sent it. This is according to Video Games Chronicle, the one he posted on our office chat, written by Jordan Midler. And it says, Yorkshire Tea is selling £150 PS5 and Xbox Series X/S controllers. The controllers will come with a certificate of authentication.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
There are lots of brands I would jump at the chance to own a weird branded controller. Like if you could get a KFC PS5 controller, I would probably buy that because it would be funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not so much with the tea.
No, me neither.
Doesn't do
also,
much
why is it £150?
Yeah, that's too much.
That's a lot.
You get a certificate though, right, Peter?
Yeah,
tell us about it.
I'll tell you all about
tell
it.
Tell us.
The thing is, I quite like the art.
It does look quite good.
On a box of Yorkshire tea. It's just like some nice fields and people playing cricket. But do I want it on a controller? And do I want the words Yorkshire tea on there? No. So the article then continues with word for word the same headline, but in the article. Yorkshire Tea is selling custom PS5 and Xbox Series X/S controllers. The controllers, which have been designed by Pope Art, cost £150 each and come in a special box with a certificate of authentication. The design on the controllers emulates a box of Yorkshire Tea. Picture the scene, a description for the controller reads. You're facing down a boss with three heads and a hammer as big as a truck.
Wow.
Armed with nothing but a rusty sword you looted from a guard.
You're probably going to die.
It's so generic,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Gulping, you look down at the controller in your hands, wondering if victory is even possible, and you see it. The reassuring branding of your favorite tea. Yes, you say to yourself, I can do this.
I can do this.
You begin the fight and are immediately one-shotted.
Oh.
You're clearly way too low level for this area.
Can't believe it.
On behalf of Yorkshire Tea, we would like to apologise for this and any other in-game mishaps caused by the powerful feeling of self-belief our controller will fill you with.
Wow.
Each controller features a custom button set and a soft touch finish, whatever that means. A standard DualSense controller has a retail price of $59.99 and an Xbox controller $54.99, but £150 apparently. It's unclear how many of the controllers have been produced. However, Yorkshire Tea claims the items are limited edition.
Mm.
Wow.
Someone
and it doesn't
those.
Even brew me tea.
No.
Is Yorkshire Tea your favourite tea?
It is, actually. It is the superior tea.
I bought my boyfriend a box of Yorkshire Tea and apparently it was the wrong tea.
Oh, no. It wasn't gold, was it? Yorkshire
no,
Tea
No, no. He just doesn't like Yorkshire doesn't Tea, like apparently.
Thing is, it's not even a Yorkshire pride thing. It's just like you go all over the country and quite often people, you know,
or that
south
or a PG or Tips.
Will have, yeah, PG Tips is there too, but a lot of people will have Yorkshire Tea.
Mm. I have some news. It was submitted by wife of Janet Wicks, Amy Wicks.
Whoa.
From Igan.
Pair of Wickses.
Igan.
By Anthony Wood. Looks like Cult of the Lamb is getting its sex update after all.
Hooray!
The subheading is Cult of the Slam.
Oh, wow. Very good. Like off of sex?
Yes. Cult of the Lamb fans have successfully pressured developer Massive Monster into adding sex to its Cult 2022 game as part of the free Sins of the Flesh update, which is set to release in early 2024. Cutesy horror-infused roguelike Cult of the Lamb launched in August last year with a simple brief to allow gamers to step into the cloven hooves of its possessed fluffy sacrificial protagonist who must repay a debt to a mysterious stranger by establishing a cult in their name. The juxtaposition of the game's cutesy aesthetic with the overriding horror-infused themes has succeeded in delighting fans. Blah, blah, blah. That's what the game is. Now, Massive Monsters looks set to add another highly requested gameplay feature to its cult 2022 game, the ability to have sex. The Sordid Saga began on November 23rd, when the developer shared details on a free major update coming early 2024 titled Sins of the Flesh. The provocative title was accompanied by art that depicted rapturous followers cavorting in the woods and making out while wearing naught but leaves to cover their unmentionables.
Blimey.
Oh.
Yes, it's cheeky.
That's not very sinful, actually. You should take the leaves off.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there's no leaves on the top half, on the nips. So.
Oh, goodness me. Not female nipples, are they?
No, animal nipples.
Well, even female worse. Animal nipples.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Understandably, the internet immediately and joyously anointed Sins of the Flesh to be the sex update, which would, fans reasoned, introduce the ability for the titular lamb and its followers to get busy with one another.
Titular.
The outpouring of smutty joy caused some fans to grow concerned about the impending update could render Cult of the Lamb unsuitable to play in front of their children, which prompted a massive Monster employee to reassure the community that this would not be the case.
Massive Monster is the developer, right?
Yes, they are. A massive Monster employee. Yeah.
It's also, okay.
You'd think also that probably if sex is implemented in any game, it would be an option. So if you're playing with your kids in the room,
just don't press
A to have sex.
But. Yes. Don't worry. The sex update is more of a meme in the community, replied developer account massive_CM on Steam. One some people are already really running with, and then I think that's meant to be an emote. The age rating hopefully won't change after this update, as we have made sure the content adheres to guidelines. Obviously, everyone is different, but I doubt you won't be able to play in front of your kids if you do already. In a twist to one of 2023's most unexpected narratives, Cult of the Lamb developers have seemingly had a change of heart after posting earlier today they would indeed introduce sex to the game if it hit 300,000 followers on the platform by the end of the year. Wow. As of writing, the sex update is a go, with Cult of the Lamb sitting on over 322,000 followers and rising. And then someone who works for the game said, look, Massive Monster tweeted, looks like the programmers are on board and they have decided that they might add it. It said, it isn't clear exactly how Massive Monster will introduce sex to the Cult of the Lamb-iverse, or whether there will be an opportunity to toggle the sexy shenanigans off in order to keep the title as kid-friendly as possible.
They could have had a universe.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Regardless, Sins of the Flesh update set to bring a range of other features and stories to the title when it drops early next year. So yeah, they are adding sex. I think I saw the social media manager said, I went to the gym. We were on 200,000 followers. I just finished my gym session and we're over 300,000 followers.
Wow.
I feel like I've made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's just like...
I like how the article said, yeah, it looks like they might introduce it. Like, you can't not now. Mm. After saying publicly, if we hit 300K, we will introduce it. They have to do something now.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw that they were calling it the sex update on Twitter like last week. And then I saw the next day that they were like, whoops.
Yeah.
But this was the picture that they used and it kind of cracked me up.
Oh.
It's the Cult of the Lamb as sexy Squidward.
Yeah. Handsome Squidward.
I call him sexy because I think he's sexy.
He's sexy, to be fair.
You can be both sexy.
You give me both. What have you got, Ben?
I've got news, what I found on my own, and no one else has submitted this, so it's all me.
Oh.
This is from IGN.
Igan,
and Ryan Dinsdale. Sorry, Ryu Dinsdale. Sentimental Skyrim players booting up Xbox 360s and PS3s to retire original characters.
Aww. Oh,
it's nice. It's a nice one. Although the comments are not nice under this IGN article. They're all saying, oh, this is cringe, and it gives gamers like a bad reputation because everyone thinks they're like lonely and losers, and this makes you lonely and a loser. Like, my God, you're the one in the IGN comment
problem.
Section.
When you said you were bringing Skyrim news, I thought it was that story a couple of people sent in where someone has killed every killable thing.
Yeah.
296,000 gold is the highest bounty I think you can get in the
game.
So someone's found that out.
Good stuff.
A wave of the Elder Scrolls V Skyrim players are getting a little sentimental and booting up their old Xbox 360s and PlayStation 3s to retire their original characters. Skyrim is now more than a decade old, 12 years, 2 weeks and 6 days to be exact, but remains in player consciousness as much as it did at launch, unlike Starfield. So. Bethesda's beloved role-playing game lets players explore a vast open world, fight great evils and become a living legend, not to mention build a house, get married and have kids. Several players...
The sex update.
The sex update, yes. Several players are currently taking that role-playing one step further, however, by revisiting their now veteran adventurers and retiring them. Though this isn't a particularly new concept for RPG fans, the current trend was triggered by Scutaria on Reddit. I'm scrolling. This is going to sound cheesy, sentimental, and a bit much, but hear me out, they wrote. I recently found my old Xbox 360 where I first played through Skyrim. My total first playthrough. No strategy, no game plan, no knowledge or lore. I just went for it. It occurred to me that this account that I spent hundreds of hours on was just sitting there waiting for me to pick it back up at any moment. This little Skyrim dude saw me through high school and part of college, and I just left him sitting this whole time. So I decided to get back on the 360 to retire my old guy. I took him to his custom-built house and put him in some emperor clothes, put all the weapons away and sat him at the table, saved the game and shut it off. Gave the virtual dude some closure and said goodbye to my first playthrough. It weirdly felt kind of nice. Before you laugh at the idea, give it a try. And then all the commenters are saying, loser, you're a loser. And then it goes on to say the post became very... very popular on the subreddit, and lots of people did a very similar thing. Although,
that's something I would do, to be honest.
Yeah.
Where was it? Let's see. There was someone who was basically evil. I can't remember. I can't find it in here now. But essentially, oh yeah, though a little less wholesome, Anti-Jack Coalition did something similar with their villainous character. The account I did the most flip on, like Dark Brotherhood, Thieves Guild, Companions, Civil War, Dragon Ball DLC, vanilla playthrough ending, I retired sitting in some big Brunwayne-ass mansion in the mountains with a lot of gold, they said. It does feel really nice to leave them to themselves after everything is over.
Lovely.
So
everyone responded in a rational, normal way. To people just being nice to one another on the internet.
I feel sort of both ways about it. Like, I agree, Ashton. It's the kind of thing I would do too. But yeah. It is still a little bit cringe.
It is cringe, yeah. But it's just a bunch of people being like, oh, that sounds nice.
Just do it. Yeah.
And then gamers
get laughed at because of things like this.
No, they are laughed at because of people like you.
Yeah, they do, actually. Gamers get a bad reputation because of, like, actual toxic people, not because someone decided to just sit their character at a table and save the game.
Yeah.
People really like to make big deals over nothing.
That's what internet articles are doing right now.
This is just sad and pathetic.
Oh my god.
That's straight loneliness right there. No way I'll be doing this. Load times on the PS3 were horrendous. lots of just rational and nice people on IGN. Yeah. It is definitely it's a little bit cringe, but it's also, you know, you're role playing a wizard, my dude.
Yeah.
Get over yourself. So there we are. That's my week.
Wow.
That was quite nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Should we move on to something rather large?
Yes.
Some call it the Big Disc Onion.
Mm.
It's Big Disc Onion time. Time for the Big Disc Onion.
Is that like an onion ring, but without the hole
don't
in the middle?
I don't think we can conceive
of the
Wasn't the
Disc Onion what Terry Pratchett's world was based on?
Yeah, it was like the everything bagel from everywhere all at once. You can't really conceive of the Big Disc Onion.
It's got so many layers.
It's beyond us, beyond our comprehension. Yeah. Brett Moore brings us the Big Disc Onion this week. Hello, Bap. With the GTA 6 announcement coming up soon, what features or mechanics would you like to see them incorporate? Maybe returning features like changing how your character looks and plays, like in San Andreas, or more mini-games like driving taxis and ambulances. I personally hope the storytelling is as deep and interesting as RDR2. Thanks for all your hard work. Tell James Jenkins he's got my vote at the James Awards. Keys, keys.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Brett.
So, I want to correct myself because I feel like on numerous occasions I have said that the Hauser brothers have left Rockstar. That turns out not to be true.
Just one of them.
It's just the one Hauser, actually.
Oh.
Sam Hauser is still there. Dan Hauser, the writer of their various games, has gone, which may impact this, but we'll talk about that more in a second. Sam Hauser is still there as the head of everything. He's been the executive producer on loads of the games.
Yeah.
Maybe the only thing that triggered me, triggered this to me. What am I
you triggered?
I'm a little bit triggered. The only thing that that brought this to my attention was the fact that I'm about to quote from Rockstar's website in a post dated the 8th of November that is signed off by Sam Hauser.
Right.
And I was like,
what?
But you left. I thought, no, he's still there. Next month marks the 25th anniversary of Rockstar Games. Thanks to the incredible support of our players worldwide, we have had the opportunity to create games we are truly passionate about. Without you, none of this would be possible, and we are so grateful to all of you for sharing this journey with us and to all of our staff for crunching. In 1998, Rockstar Games was founded on the idea that video games could come to be as essential to culture as any other form of entertainment, and we hope that we have created games you love in our efforts to be part of that evolution. We are very excited to let you know that in early December, we will release released the first trailer for the next Grand Theft Auto. We look forward to more to many more years of sharing these experiences with all of you. From Sam Hauser, Kiss. This is now, I mean, we already knew it was happening because there was that massive leak last year. Mm-hmm. In terms of what we already know about GTA from those leaks, it will be coming back to Vice City and its surrounding area. The in-development names for the two playable characters are Jason and Lucia, I'm not sure, and you will be able to swap between them, but it'll be more of an instantaneous thing rather than a zoom all the way out of the map because they're going to be kind of like close to each other at all times.
It's kind of AI. A Bonnie and Clyde situation.
That's the basic pitch. So we know the broad strokes, and now they've come out and said, yes, obviously, this game is happening, and we're going to get a trailer really soon. Mm-hmm. Maybe at the James Awards, maybe not at the James Awards. They might do their own thing. Hopefully they'll let the James Awards happen beforehand so they don't just, because it'd be a bit of a dick move, because they will dominate the news cycle and it would steal all of poor Jeffrey's thunder, and that's not very fair.
No.
So either be at the James Awards or don't, but do it after. So, Peter.
Yes.
What would you like to happen in GTA 6?
Well, I have heard rumors. People have rumored that, like, your character will age just constantly, or characters will age through the game, and that you, like, have to get your hair cut and stuff like that. And if you don't, your hair just gets really long.
Like Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't like either having to do basic, like, hygiene and maintenance in a video game. It's great if it's an option. It maybe gives you a little like boost or something. If you go and like have a shower, then you're slightly more charismatic and you can convince people of stuff or whatever, you know. But if I have to like actually go and get my hair
micromanage.
Cut, and yeah, all the micromanagement. Not a fan of that. And I also don't like the idea of my character just aging the longer I play the game. If that is indeed something that happens, we'll find out. But it's a rumor. So those are a couple of things that might be in there that I wouldn't like to see. I like Brett's suggestion of, the taxis and ambulances. I used to enjoy doing that in previous games, just earning a little bit of money and having fun doing, putting out fires and a fire engine and that kind of thing. So that's all good. I mean, it's difficult to think of like new stuff that hasn't already been covered by GTA 5, because really it was such an expansive world. You know, you could go and like play tennis or have a race or go into like any number of buildings. So I think it would be, I'd like to see more. I don't know how this would work necessarily.
Okay.
But I would like to be able to
voice your own character.
Yes.
Well, boy, howdy, have I got news for you.
I would like to be able to basically just create my own heists and just pull off heists.
Okay.
Using like various kind of mechanics, and like I would like to be able to just like pick a bank, get like a squad together, of my friends, and go and like pull off like a cleverly orchestrated heist of my own making. Mm. I know, of course, there have been heist missions in the past. Of course they have, and I'm sure they will be back. But it would be nice if you could, not just do essentially petty crime outside of missions, because that's pretty much all you can do in GTA games of the past is steal cars, mug people, and that's sort of it. I think it would be nice if there were a mechanic in place somehow that allowed you to sort of craft a more elaborate kind of crime. I think that could be really fun.
Mm.
Also, as far as I can remember, you haven't in the past ever been able to build your own house in Grand Theft Auto. You've been able to do little bits of customization, and of course you've been able to like build actual tracks and stuff for GTA Online. But it could be quite fun to sort of buy a plot of land, build your own house, put different things in it, that sort of thing. You know, I'm trying to think of like games that, or mechanics we have in games now that are quite common, that haven't actually been in GTA in the past, because, as I say, they have covered a lot of things in certainly GTA 5. But those are a couple of ideas of mine. Ashton?
I asked the community what they wanted in Grand Theft Auto 6. It's okay. And I got a lot of comments. There was a lot of people. So I've just kind of summarized what I saw a lot of. I didn't realize, and I don't think that a lot of people did realize, that there was set characters already.
Right.
I didn't. How did you know that? I didn't know that.
It was in the big leak from last year.
I see.
There was a Latina character and another character, and those are their as it said, they're in development names.
Right, okay. I didn't know that, and I don't think many people did either, right, because there was quite a lot of people saying that they would like to create their own character for the story. There was a couple of people saying that they didn't want to play as a woman.
Of course.
Ugh.
That would be awful.
But there's some people saying that they would like to play as a woman. A lot of people asked for local co-op campaign because there obviously is always kind of a few characters in it. Well, I'd say always. GTA 5 had a few characters to choose from, so there was local co-op questions. There was a want for additional single-player DLC instead of only GTA Online extra content. Lots of people saying that they kind of didn't want a GTA Online situation in the same way that they had with Grand Theft Auto 5. There was a lot of people saying they didn't want any microtransactions, which I understand, but
you
live in a world where they always exist. Yeah. And also, lots of people saying, my favourite phrase, no wokeness, please. No wokeness.
No wokeness. What does that mean exactly?
I don't know.
Think they could define it.
I wrote the word yawn after I wrote no wokeness, because if you use the word woke, unironically, you need to take your head out of your ass. But what I would like... outside of the community stuff, a lot of the stuff they said were things I would like. I love a local co-op game, despite what I may have said earlier about Gotham Knights. I do like a local co-op game.
Scrambled Ashton wants attention.
Scrambled Ashton wants attention, and I would suggest that you open the door.
Scrambled Ashton wants to take this car. Every time you want to punch someone,
Scrambled Ashton
wants to hit the brakes.
The button.
Yeah. Scrambled Ashton would like to walk four paces forward. I would like that. I would also like to have more interactivity in the world. I'd like there to be kind of more goings on, more like shops or bars or places that you can visit and go into, a little bit like the bank situation, like being able to kind of organically go and do things that aren't necessarily just, you can do this when this mission is active. There was loads of places in Grand Theft Auto 5 that would have been really interesting to explore the inside of, or be have the opportunity to kind of go and do like missions in there, but obviously weren't given the opportunity to. And again, I'd like some of the more cool online content that we got for GTA 5 to also be in the single player, like the heists and like you running your own kind of criminal organization that you can gain money from while you're doing it. Like picking if you want to be into money laundering or drugs or other such things, and owning a club that you can use to like as your base of operations, where you can gain money which you can then spend on things. I would like that. I enjoyed that element of Grand Theft Auto 5. Is the tinsel going?
It's on its way.
Merry Christmas. Sad face. But yeah, that's what I would like in Grand Theft Auto 5. And I also agree in the sense of I would like no microtransactions, but I'm a realist and that's not going
to
happen.
And you don't want it to be woke.
I don't want a single woke thing. If they even say he or she once, I'm going to kick off.
Yeah, I'd like it to be asleep.
Yeah.
Not woke.
So asleep.
Yeah.
So the crazy cheats need to come back.
Oh yeah.
We need cheats. We need silly cheats.
Silly cheats.
I am personally not too sure about multiple protagonists. I didn't dislike it in GTA 5, but I did find that I never switched characters unless it was for a mission. That functionality was sort of wasted on me. I get that it was very novel, but also the process of switching was very slow. And if it's a lot faster this time, then that's not an issue at all, I suppose. So that'll probably be okay. I think they should make a separate download / install for the online versus the single player. I think they should be totally separate. We've spoken before about how this game could be a live service nightmare where it's a combination of both. And I sincerely hope that's not the case. That's not very them, but obviously GTA Online has been printing money for them for over a decade now, or close to. So,
but then hopefully they know that they can just do that again and continue to print money.
Fingers crossed.
They don't have to do the live service because they can do separate.
But I would like it to be, it may be annoying for people who want to play both, but I would rather it be a separate application. Because originally you couldn't even, if I'm remembering rightly, you couldn't even switch to online as you were starting up the game. You had to load in and then from the character select wheel, where you know you had Franklin and Trevor and Michael, the top one was your online character, and that is how you went into online. And then, of course, the online didn't bloody work at launch, so that's another thing they need to fix. So I think separating all of that, making sure
or
it was separate.
Like, you know, like Call of Duty do, where it asks you which bits of the install you want to do, rather than like two separate applications. Because that would be nice huge. To be like, I don't want this. Thank
it
you.
Would be a huge file to have all of it on there.
Yeah.
So that, furthering my point, I would like there to be a total separation of online and offline, unless it's on very specific terms. So, for example, if you did create an online character, or maybe when you start up the game, even if you want to opt in for online, it makes you create your online character almost immediately. Say you own a particular apartment in GTA Online. Maybe your online character in the offline version is wandering about in that general vicinity, or is in that area, or you could see them on the streets doing stuff, or maybe bump into them as part of the story. But I don't want there to be any creeping in of online GTA Online elements into the single player offline game at all. I do not want that. Co-op, as you said, is a really good idea, especially if it's a Bonnie and Clyde kind of situation. I don't see why you shouldn't be able to invite a friend to run around and rampage in your private online city or offline city, as it were, and do the missions together if those two characters are together for the whole thing. And maybe it's a bit like other co-op games like Resident Evil 6, which is the best Resident Evil game, where there are several points where you split off. So depending on which character you play as, you experience a different part of that mission because you have a different objective. That could be pretty cool as well. For all of its many numerous sins, Saints Row let you expand your criminal empire by purchasing lots and putting businesses on them.
Yeah.
Like you were just talking about with the criminal enterprise stuff. Yeah. That could be really cool if it was done way better.
Because
that was just gave you a list of chores to do in order to level up your thing. Whereas here, the ability to buy property and actually run a proper criminal organization would be pretty cool if that's the direction the story ends up going in. And also, much like we were promised with Cyberpunk, and maybe that's been fixed or kind of swept under the rug for now, the city was meant to feel way more alive than it actually ended up feeling. Like there were
better now.
That's good. Mm. There were lots of buildings where it was like, I'd love to be able to walk in there and see what's going on. Mm. This shop looks weird and futuristic. I'd love to go in there, even if I can't buy anything, and just look at it. A bit more like that. Yeah. Make the world feel. Rockstar have always done an amazing job of making their worlds feel alive. And if this is the next big sandbox game, I'm not saying you should be able to go in every building, but certainly a lot of buildings you should be able to go inside. Yeah. I think that would be a great thing for immersion.
Another thing I've thought of is, and I'm sure they will do it because they've done it for, well, I think since San Andreas, maybe since even Vice City, is to throw in some of the weird, rumored, urban myth, strange stuff that always finds itself into the GTA community. There's always is there a UFO? Some people say they've seen a UFO, but no one knows if it's there. Or, is Bigfoot walking around in San Andreas? We're not sure. Mm-hmm. And then you see, nowadays, because we are so connected and we have instant sharing of actual game footage, it would be less, there would be fewer rumors and more just, instant confirmation. Here's footage of this thing I found. But, with the Bigfoot, it was someone's got a screenshot of what they saw. And it's like, is that a mod? Some people were modding it in, and some people were saying, this is not modded. I saw something. And I really enjoyed that whole aspect of the GTA community. And I think, more of that is always interesting.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch people decipher stuff on the subreddit. There was a whole Mount Chiliad conspiracy in GTA 5 and people were working out for months and months, and that's always super fun. Yeah.
I also would some slightly more likable characters would be nice.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy Trevor at all.
No.
We've spoken about this before. No. He just wasn't pleasant. I know that's the point, but I just didn't enjoy him at all.
Yeah, and I can understand, obviously they're criminals, they're not supposed to be good people, but also they can still be charismatic and likable even as criminals.
Yeah, caricatures, weird.
Exactly.
You had all sorts of weird guys in the old GTA games.
Yeah.
There were loads of fictional crime lords who were actually kind of likable.
Yeah,
exactly. Some of the most messed up people. I like Hannibal Lecter. Yeah. He's a cannibal who murders people. He's a horrible man.
But he does in such a fun way.
He's interesting.
He's great. He's just a great guy.
Yeah.
It'll be fascinating to see the tone of this game as well, because there's been a lot of reporting on the big culture shift that's been happening in Rockstar, especially since a lot of the speaking out stuff has been happening. Mm. So things could be shifting in that regard. Obviously, Dan Houser is the Houser brother who has left, who has been involved in the writing or written pretty much all of the Rockstar open world games, including the GTA titles. He left in 2020. There's a good chance that he might have contributed heavily to this already, or maybe even had it written. But apparently he did have an extended break in 2019 as well, presumably after Red Dead 2. And it was that point where he left. And then he signed on as a financier of some sort of blockchain thing. So hope he's doing great. But there's a chance that he might not have been involved in this at all. Yeah. And there's lots of talented writers out there. Yeah. But as we've seen with other big franchises, not nearly as big, but Borderlands, for example, when the person who makes it what it is leaves, it can become very different. Yeah. So we'll see if it still has its edge, or if it pushes things too far, or if it plays it way too safe like Saints Row did.
Well, I would like it to, and I understand that GTA, they punch at everyone. They take hits at everyone, but they don't all the time. And I would like, if we are going to go there in some ways, I'd like it to, I'm not going to be sensitive about it. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to get triggered by it. But I would like it to not feel like we're constantly punching down when it comes to the humor in GTA. GTA 5, the tinsel was going. GTA 5 was fine, and it did have some elements where it was like clearly punching down, but it didn't feel like that was the focus of it. And some people seem to view GTA as like, they're allowed to get away with everything. They can make jokes about everyone. They can, you know, they don't care about wokeness. Ugh. But like, it's never been that bad. And I wouldn't like to see them pander to the anti-woke brigade to like try and be edgy and cool. Like, I think you can still be funny and still have the same level of humor and kind of satire that GTA 5 had without having to be mean and offensive to certain people. So I would be interested to see, like you say, the tone and how they address things, because the when GTA 5 came out, the vibes were very different to how they are now.
Oh, yes. So it was very much, you know, a zeitgeist, isn't it? Like, they respond to whatever is current, you know, in terms of...
It'll be TikTok this time.
Yeah.
There'll be lots of influencer
TikTok
characters.
Big TikToks. Yeah,
be awesome. But like, that's fine. Like, punch up. Make fun of the influencers. Make fun of the things... The politicians. And, the things in NFTs, our culture that are stupid and ridiculous. Blockchains. He just swings his brother.
Yeah.
Fake news will be in there.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like, make punch up, don't punch down. There's nothing funny about punching down. You're just being mean. Like, punch up. I'd love to see them take aim at like the people who are inherently ridiculous because of the power that they have.
There'll be an Elon Musk caricature in there.
Absolutely.
Well, you already killed what's his name? The Zuckerberg equivalent of GTA 5. He's already dead. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is, it's fascinating for a lot of reasons. These games do not come around very often, and they come around far less often now than they used to. So this, it's going to be a huge one, but will it be a Starfield, or will it be an equivalent of something that we've been waiting for ages that was actually really good in the end?
Do you think you go to space? Because, like,
oh my God,
I mean, literally the final frontier.
Someone will take off in a dick rocket.
They've done submarines.
Oh my God, there'll definitely be a dick rocket.
There will be a dick rocket.
Because they did aircraft in, like, Vice City. That was when helicopters came in. And then they've done, like, you know, the giant construction vehicles. They've done...
The jet fighters and stuff.
They've done jets, obviously.
Blimps.
They've done a submarine. There's not really any other type of vehicle other than an actual rocket.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if that's...
Yeah,
that's where they go next.
I would like to see how they tackle the world of the 2020s in terms of like what they make jokes about, and there's so much content that they could take stuff from. Absolutely,
there's lots of really interesting things to satirize for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. What do you want to see from GTA? And don't say wokeness, anti-woke, whatever. I don't care. It's tiring. It's exhausting. It doesn't matter. What fun gameplay features do you want? That's what's most important. Mm-hmm. Will the game be fun? Let us know in the comments below. There's lots of other places you can find us on the internet as well. Peter's going to tell you about a couple of them right now.
You can find all our content at youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. All of our videos on YouTube and almost all of our streams on Twitch, but occasionally little special treats on YouTube. if you are watching us on Twitch and you've got Amazon Prime already, you are paying for a Twitch sub. You might not be using it yet, but if you
you're paying for it, fool.
You're paying for it. If you have a look at your Amazon Prime, there's a sub there that you can redeem on us at no extra cost, and you get all the benefits of having paid for a sub, like a chump.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Chumps that you're paying. Thank you very much for paying for subs.
Strong language.
My gosh. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, on all of which we are at Team Triple Jump. If you want to get in contact with us, if we are in your top five on Spotify Wrapped, do tag us and let us know. We always love seeing people's... I like seeing who we're mixed with. Do you know what I mean? I like seeing what else you guys look at. I'm like, oh, it's us. And then...
Podiums.
Drag queens. Yeah. Crazy. Love your vibe. And we also have patreon.com/teamtriplejump. Don't forget, a new episode of Main Menu went out there yesterday at time of release. It's very good, if I just touched on myself.
It is. Yeah. TripleJU.mp. That's TripleJU.mup. That's our website, Triple Jump. Go check it out. That's where you can find links to literally everything that we do. And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. If you don't leave us a 5-star review, we'll come in and we'll argue with you, because that's apparently okay now.
Yeah.
That's
what happens.
The reason you thought it was boring was actually because you weren't listening well.
Have you tried changing your ears?
When the astronauts
when they listened to the Triple Jump podcast, they were really bored.
They said it was fine.
Yeah. It was all right for them. What's the difference? Peter, what's the sponsor for this week again, please?
Coming soon from Ubisoft, a documentary all about Christmas turkeys from sort of France, Spain. Abattoir, Poultries of Andorra.
Very good.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for watching/listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.